If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd love for you to find two passages of Scripture to start. One is in the New Testament. It's in the book of Luke. The very last chapter of the book of Luke is Luke chapter 24. And I would ask you, as you find that, just to place something there. And then make your way, if you would, to Psalm 122. Luke chapter 24. But I want to begin today in Psalm 122. And I believe that God has laid this message upon my heart. I'm so excited to preach it to you. I hope and pray that you see the spirit of this message in your pastor today. And I'm asking God to revive the spirit within us as a church as we celebrate our anniversary and as we begin to make our way forward in the end of the year and serving the Lord. Psalm 122, verse number 1, David writes, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I want you to read it with me out loud, if you would, please. 1, 2, 3. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm going to preach a message today simply entitled, "Glad to Go to Church." Glad to go to church. It's too long. I don't like being judged. It's boring. They only preach hell and damnation. All they want is your money. It's filled with hypocrites. I don't like organized religion. It's just a big show. It has become political. Wow. I don't feel any closer to God after going. No one knows my name. They only care about the numbers. There's a book in the Bible called Numbers. It feels more like jail. You got to be kidding me. They talk down to their members. It's just fake. Really, if you boil it all down, I just don't want to go. Would you read with me Psalm 122, verse number 1, out loud? "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That was a survey done, taken of all kinds of people. Let me read you something the Malfers group put together, simply entitled, "Reasons Why Committed Christians Do Not Go to Church." This is awesome and awful. They believe in Jesus, but they feel church is irrelevant to their day-to-day life. They are tired of the routine every Sunday. They have learned much about God, but the church is not engaging them in their calling. The church has changed, does not hold the same initial appeal as it once did. They have problems with how churches are run. They have problems with how people are handled. Heavy-handed pastors shame people into behaving in a godly way. Well, I lost 25 pounds this year, so my hand's lighter. They dislike conflict within the church. There's a lack of insight into personal and practical issues within the family. The children are not happy. When I was growing up, my dad didn't give a lick about my happiness. I kind of like that one. Matter of fact, I was pretty much miserable going to church because of my behavior. There are too many rules, too many people. Family rhythms are different. There's just not a church out there that I think that I could attend. Would you please read Psalm 122, verse number 1? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
What a work had been done in the heart of David. What a work had been done in his spirit. I will admit to you, the Bible will even teach you, there is no such thing as a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor. There's no such thing as perfect people. Matter of fact, Paul taught Timothy, he said, Timothy, I'm going to have to teach you to teach them how to behave in the house of God. So if you've got to be taught how to behave in the house of God, there must be misbehavior in the house of God. When I was a child, I very much was misbehaving in the house of God. And then my dad threatened me that I would meet God very soon, and that kind of changed. A little bit of the background of Psalm 122, verse number 1. The scholars tell us that David, they believe, wrote this psalm. Now, some of them want to go back and forth on this, but here's what they figure. They figure that David wrote this psalm based on the Ark of the Covenant being returned to Jerusalem. They're not sure if his house of the Lord is his tabernacle that he was at, or if this is a prophetical psalm that David wrote that he wanted to be used when Solomon built the temple and the ark would be brought back into the temple. You must understand that the Ark of the Covenant to the Jewish people was so precious and so meaningful. It was the very heart and soul of those people. That ark that was constructed there represented the presence of God in their midst. Don't you remember how the glory of God filled that temple and how that it was the divine presence of God that was there in that ark? There were three things that were in that ark. If you remember, they put in there the tables of stone. They put in there the law. They put in there his rod, Aaron's rod. And they put in there that bowl of manna that was to represent the presence of God, the power of God, and the provision of God. I submit to you this. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you find that God's people are commanded to go to church. We're commanded to do it. I have found within my own nature that I hate to be told what I'm supposed to do. I don't ever want to walk on the grass till you tell me not to. I don't usually pick things up at the store until they say, don't touch. Well, now I got to know what it feels like, right? I have the same human nature that you have. And human nature hates to be commanded to what to do. However, God understood human nature. He understood sinful human nature. And so in both testaments, there's the command for God's people to go to church. How in the world does David get to the place where he says, I was glad, man, when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord? Because David, as he was making his way with that ark into that tabernacle, he understood the blessing of God that was there. Also in the Bible, you will find that as we are commanded as Christians to go, we're also told that there are blessings for those that come to the house of the Lord. I find myself as a pastor saying this, well, if you missed that service, you missed a blessing. Everybody may not be there, but if you are there, you will be blessed. The ark had the presence of God, the power of God, and the provision of God. And it was so moving to David that it brought about a gladness for him to be there. I would submit to you this. If our churches today met with the presence of God, And if our churches today met with the power of God, and our churches today were blessed with the provision of God, there would be a gladness for God's people to be there. Go to Luke 24. Let me show you what church was like back in the day and what church, I believe, should be like today. This is a fascinating passage of scripture in Luke chapter 24. And just to give you the context of it, Jesus has been risen from the dead. He's getting ready to ascend. He's walked the Emmaus Road with those two men. He's taught them the scriptures. He's opened up their understanding. And when you come to verse number 33, those two, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 doing what, class? Gathered together, right? So they're having a church meeting here. And they're gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, say it out loud, please, "Peace be unto you." Why? Look at verse 37. They were terrified. I submit to you that if Jesus showed up in most of our churches today, the people would be terrified and affrighted that they had seen a spirit. Jesus said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise within your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet. It's me. Handle me. See. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, there was no joy in their belief because they did not believe it was him. They did not believe that he had resurrected from the dead. And wondered, he said unto them, "You guys got anything to eat?" Once again, that's biblical precedent for Jesus was a Baptist. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it and he ate it. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He said unto them, "It is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. The repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in that city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with" what, class? "Power from on high." Verse 50, don't stop just because the ink went black. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they were morbid." Does your Bible say that? No. And they said, "We're not coming back here ever again." No. They worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And that passage ends with that last word. And let's say it out loud together. 1, 2, 3. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when the early church met. They met with an understanding of power and presence and provision. When they met at that time, they had seen the resurrected Lord. Finally, it clicked with them that he is alive. Let me tell you something. This church belongs to the living Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is moving. He is saving people. He is moving in our lives. We do not meet here to worship some religion. We don't meet here to worship some organization. We meet here to worship a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I promise you, he has power. And I promise you, he has provision. And oh, if God's people could draw close to him in a wonderful way and reckon that, there would be gladness to go to church. I love this part of this. He said, now, fellas, I need you to go into Jerusalem, and I need you to wait. I need you to wait for the promise of the Father, because what's going to happen is you're going to be endued with power from on high. So you know what they did? They went from this little church meeting to another little church meeting. And they go into the upper room. And in the upper room, can you imagine, as they were talking amongst themselves, Jesus told us to come and to wait. Jesus told us to come and to wait. The promise is coming. The promise is coming. It's going to happen. We're going to be endued with power. And they're waiting and they're waiting. And there was an expectation that God was going to move in their midst. I submit to you today that what the church needs is we need an expectation of the moving of God in our midst. So many people just punch a clock. So many people just come to church. So many people just make their way, and they make it as part of a routine or a schedule. Of course you're not going to want to attend there. But if you belong to a church where you're expecting God to show up in a powerful and marvelous way with provision and presence, and lives are being changed, souls are being saved, prayers are being answered, and there's this marvelous expectation that I go to a church where God moves, you'll be glad to go to that church. I was thinking about our congregation. I was thinking about our people. I was thinking about the miracles that God has done within the last year, the miracles that God has done in the history of our church. And I'm telling you something, my friends. There is a gladness that's found within the people of our church to come to church. I know you can't always be here, and I don't expect you to be here all the time. But when you do come, here's what I expect. I expect you to come with gladness, because there's an expectation that God is showing up in our church. That puts a responsibility on you to be holy, puts a responsibility on me to be holy. Oh, David said, I was glad to go to church because of the presence and power and provision of God. I found three other things I wanted to show you about this, and I'll be done. I got to get used to that clock saying 11:30 as opposed to 12:15. If I preach till 12:15, you're going to be mad, not glad. One of the reasons David was glad was for the presence of God. He was glad for the power of God. He was glad for the provision of God as God blessed them. But he was also, I believe, and the Bible teaches, and one of the reasons I'm glad to go to church, for the protection that church is in the times of trouble. I was reading Isaiah 37. I was reading about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was the king of Jerusalem at that time. And here comes Sennacherib. And Sennacherib basically comes and says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your people. And I don't care what God you think you believe in. I have destroyed every land in this whole place that has a God. And your God is no different than their God. Hezekiah heard that news. Not only did he hear that news, as the man stood there, he announced to the people what he was going to do to them. And that man told those people, don't you listen to that. Your king. Your king's going to exalt some god. I've defeated all the gods, and there's not a god that can stand against me. Those people stood there with their mouth closed. They didn't say a single word. The Bible says that when Hezekiah received that information, the first place he went was to the house of God. My friends, church family, when I think about the times of troubles that we go through, I think about the sicknesses, I think about the divorce, I think about the death of children, I think about the attacks within our work, the attacks within our communities. When I think about all of the tests and the difficulties and so on, I sometimes feel like the Apostle Paul, when I come to church, the Bible says when he saw the brethren, he took courage. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I just need to come to church. There's times in my life when I'm hurting and when I'm broken. There's times in my life when I think the whole world's crumbling around me. There are times in my life when I just got to be here. I thought about Chuck Gorslein. I don't know if Chuck's here today or not. Chuck's so sick. Where are you? Right there. Brother Chuck is so fights his body so many times, and I love it. He comes to the door, shakes my hand when he's here, and he says, "Brother, I just had to come to church." I was thinking about Barbara Churchill. Her husband died. Next service, she's in church. She looked at me and she said, "I just had to come to church." I think about Marguerite Duke. They laid her on the table. They told her, "We don't know that you're going to survive." She said, "If I die physically, absent from the body, present with the Lord." She called me. She said, "If I die on that table, it's okay. I'm with the Lord." As soon as she got off that table and began to heal, I went to her home. You know what the first thing she said? She said, "I need to come to church." My friends, we are not of this world, but we are in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, but there are times when you will need your church family, and what a wonderful protection in the times of trouble it is to come to the house of God. I thought about sitting there, walking through the door and being hugged and greeted and welcomed. I thought about sitting in the middle of like-mindedness, people that believe like I believe, people that love the Lord like I love the Lord, being washed by the music, singing and exulting in the hymns, being prayed for, the spirit of God's people. Listen, all of these people can find every reason in the world they want not to come to church. For me, I'm glad to come to the house of God. Not only is there a protection in times of trouble, but I found another reason for gladness is I found the church to be a place of instruction. How many were saved out of the ministry of Plantation Baptist Church? You were saved out of this ministry. You got saved. Would you stand? I can't see your hands. There's so many people here. Stand up. If you were saved because of the witness or ministry of this church, stand up. Now stay standing just a minute. Are you glad this is a place of instruction? Are you glad this is a place where you came and somebody preached you the gospel? Somebody told you about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Somebody presented you the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody unapologetically said, "This is the word of God and we believe it." They taught you were a sinner. They taught you about heaven and they taught you about hell. They taught you about God's love. They taught you about his redemption. They taught you that you could be born again. Somebody preached you the truth. It's a wonderful place of instruction. You may be seated. The Bible says, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You know why I'm glad to come to church? Because I need to know what the Lord says. I come to church to be instructed on how to be a man. Men, this teaches you how to be a man. This teaches you how to be a godly man. I come to church because I get instructed on how to be a husband. Beverly says I need more than 3 services. Dear precious lady coming to our church, and she said, "Pastor, you make a lot of jokes about your marriage. Is everything okay with your marriage?" I said, "Do you have a room to rent?" No, I just said my marriage is great, but I learned how to be a husband. I come to church and I get taught the word of God to learn how to be a dad. I get taught the word of God to learn how to be a church member. I get taught the word of God to learn how to be holy. I get taught the word of God how to organize my life. I get taught the word of God that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. I get taught the things of God, about the character of God, about myself. I get taught how to live life and to know life freely and abundantly and wonderfully. And listen, there's no more great instruction than the word of God. I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Our church is glad to hear it. You tolerated with me for 13 years. I heard that amen. I hope that was a joyous amen, Rose Fairman. I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I love preaching. You don't know this, but as I'm preaching, I'm enjoying this message. What'd they say? What comes out of your mouth bounces off me and sticks to you. You remember that? Used to say it goes off that wall and sticks right back to me. I love preaching. I love to be taught the word of God. when somebody's going to stand in the desk or somebody's going to have a Sunday school class or somebody's going to have something, man, I'm glad to be there to hear what God's word says in my life. Lastly, doing great. I go to church, I'm glad because of the presence of God, the power of God, the provision of God, the protection in times of trouble, the place of instruction, but also because it brings purpose to my life. Write down Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. When you read Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, you're going to read about an old woman. Her name is Anna. If I did my Bible study right, I believe Anna in Luke chapter 2 is 84 years old. And the Bible says that she never left the temple. She served the Lord all the time in the temple. Sometimes I get asked by the older people of our church, Pastor, why am I still alive? And a lot of times I think, I ask the same question. I don't know. Just kidding about that. Why am I still alive? Well, the Bible says that let everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. And the Bible says that you're still alive to serve the Lord. Here's what I found. From Anna, who was 84, and then if you were to go to the book of Samuel, and you know Samuel is a young boy, he was sent to the temple to serve the Lord. So we have children serving the Lord, and we have old people serving the Lord, right? So the reason that I'm glad to go to church is because I find within my church and my church family purpose to live, purpose to life. I find that the church that the Lord Jesus has died for in that local assembly, that enables me to serve the Lord. That enables me to be part of something larger than myself. I hear this all the time. They teach us pastors that millennials, the new millennials, whatever they are, whoever they are, they want to be part of something larger than themselves. And so they encourage us pastors to go out and kind of get this new vision. Well, I got news for you. We don't need a new vision. We just need people to understand the Bible. When you understand the Bible, you understand that God's church is larger than you. It's large enough for your whole life. I think about my life, right? Just forget that I'm the pastor. I'm just Tom for a second. I'll stand right here. My life is really surrounded around my church. I know I have to be here for service, but I would like to think if I'm not here, if I wasn't preaching, I would still be here. I look at my checkbook and I find that my checkbook says Plantation Baptist Church everywhere. Of course, it says a lot of other places, but we won't go there either. I find that last night, I'm a huge Ohio State football fan. Huge. Did you see the miracle God did? Ben Branch, where are you, brother? He's out counting, isn't he? He's a big Penn State fan. He said, you want to watch the game together? I said, are you going to behave? He said, why don't you come over and watch the game? I said, all right, I'll come over. I don't normally do this on Saturday, but just so happens it was God's will to have church late today. And so, you know how that all works together. So first half, we were getting destroyed. Halftime, I went to the bathroom, got on my knees. Ben's standing there eating his chips, just celebrating, having a great time. He should have been on his knees. Ohio State came out of there like a machine, man. They came out with fire. Then Penn State goes up 2 touchdowns or 12 points, fourth quarter, 6 minutes. Now I put the food down. Now I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm fasting. We march down the field. We score those 2 touchdowns. Now what do you do? I'm with my brother who's brokenhearted. I'm supposed to weep with him and he's supposed to rejoice with me, but that wasn't happening right then and there. So I'm just inside, just going crazy. And then the game ends, and I walk up to him. I'm like, I had determined if you won, I was going to hug you, so I want you to hug me now. And so we hug each other. You know what? Why would I say that? I remember now. I was watching that game with my church brothers. You know, I'm going to an activity with my church brothers. I find if we go out to eat, sometimes I go with my church brothers and my church sisters. I find that when my life this kind of just involves around you. And together we have a wonderful purpose in our church to serve the living Lord. And I'm glad to go to church. It brings a perspective and a purpose. Go make all the money in the world you want to make. I hope you do. Go vacation. Go do whatever God enables you to do. But listen, somehow your church ought to be a part of your life. It brings great purpose to your life. Where are you serving the Lord at? It's anniversary Sunday. Where are you serving the Lord in this church? If you're not serving the Lord and you attend here and you're not involved somewhere in the ministry, you ought to think about purpose in my life. Help me one more time. We'll be done. Psalm 122, 1. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. God is good, isn't he? It's been great to our church. Let's go forward. When we leave these doors, we go into a mission field out there. Let's take the name of Jesus with us. Let's be faithful till he comes gets us. I promise you he will be faithful this upcoming year. May we be found to be faithful. Shall we pray?